This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm thalith min shahri Rajab 1445 al-muwafiq li 15 min shahri January 2023 24 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لي المؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So inshallah we continue from where we stopped last درس. If you remember, he said there are 3 مقامات للعاشق, the initial, the medium, the middle situation, and the intiha. So he was talking in the end about the mafasid of al-ishq, the harm that it brings to the ashiq and the mashuq. Yeah, if you still recall that, we stop at the saying of the mu'allif, fayalahu min, is that correct? Min dhulmin? Yeah. So he talks about how much, you know, ashiq is oppressing himself and the mashuq and also others who are related to that person, who they do that oppression because only if they do it, then the maslaha can happen to the mashuq or the ashiq. قَالَ فَيَالَهُ مِنْ ذُلْمٍ أَعْظَمَ إِثْمًا مِنْ الْفَاحِشَةَ فَإِنْ كَانَ ذَلِكَ حَقًّا لِغَازٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقِّفَ لَهُ الْجَانِي الْفَاعِلُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. It says, what kind of sin is this that sometimes it might be worse than the sin of al-fahisha nafsuha, worse than the sin of yarhamukallah, sin of al-fahisha nafsuha. You get it? Fahisha to zina. This ishq can be worse than that because it can lead to shirk. You get it? It can lead to shirk, which zina doesn't usually do. Does that? فَإِنْ كَانَ ذَلِكَ حَقًّا لِغَازٍ. And if this ashiq is taking the right of a ghazi, ghazi means a fighter fi sabilillah, mujahid fi sabilillah. وَقِّفَ لَهُ الْجَانِي الْفَاعِلُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَقِيلَ لَهُ خُذْ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ مَا شِئْتَ. And if a person corrupt the wife of a ghazi fi sabilillah, somebody who went for jihad, and there is another evil person who went to his house and corrupt his wife, have zina with her or talk to her without the permission of the husband. You get it? Do anything that will destroy the wife, you know, to the husband. So if he commits zina with the wife of the husband, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this mas'ala is so big, is bigger than the normal zina. Apart from the sins he get between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will also bring him on the day of judgment and ask the majni alayhi, the ghazi fi sabilillah, the mujahid, and then he will be told, take whatever you want from his reward. Take whatever you want from his reward. Don't forget, this is the day of judgment, right? No gift, no forgiveness. Allah will tell him, take whatever you want. Kama akhbara bidhalika Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning this matter. ثم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فما ظنكم أي ما تظنون يبقي له. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, what do you think? It means, what do you think this man is going to leave for him? Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, take whatever you want, what do you think he is going to leave? Nothing. Yeah. So that happens to him on the day of judgment. We're not talking about the punishment here. Yeah, on the day of judgment, Allah will bring him and ask the ghazi fi sabilillah to take all of his reward. All of his reward. قَالَ فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ فَمَا تَظُنُّونَ يُبْقِي لَهُ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ قَالَ فَإِنِ انْضَافَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْمَظْلُومُ جَارًا لَهُ أَوْ ذَا رَحِمٍ مَحْرَمٍ تَعَدَّدَ الظُّلْمُ فَصَارَ ظُلْمًا مُؤَكَّدًا al-jar. He says, if you add to that, you know, that this jar might be, this ghazi fi sabilillah, ghazi fi sabilillah might be a jar. He might be a neighbor. Yeah, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he talks about the greatest sins, number three, he says, antuzaniya halilata jarik. Yani halilata jarik. To commit zina with the wife of the neighbor. You know, committing zina is always bad, but the one that was done with the wife of the neighbor is greater in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is that? Because aminak wa'atamanak, you know, your existence makes him feels comfortable, that he can go away and his family are in the aman. But then this person is the one who betrayed the amana. And you don't need him to tell you that, please take, that he wants you to take care of his family. You don't need that. You know, by custom, when the neighbor goes out, the neighbors are supposed to take care of his family. So if this person is a jar or the mahramin or somebody who is related to him, you get it? So then now the dhulm is barak. Yeah, dhulm, on top of dhulm. Okay, the idea, the fact that he's a mujahid visabilillah, went for the sake of Allah, and the fact that he's your neighbor, and the fact that he might be a neighbor and also a mahram. Yeah, and somebody went and destroyed his wife. So the dhulm is going to be confirmed and stronger than any other dhulm that we have mentioned earlier. لِقَطِئَةِ الرَّحِمُ وَأَذَى الْجَارِ, because it involves قَطِئَةُ الرَّحِمُ, cutting off the ties, and also وَأَذَى الْجَارِ, and the other of the jar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, other of jar means harming the neighbor. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعُ رَحِمٍ. The one who breaks the tie between him and his relative will not go to paradise. That's how bad is the situation. That's why you have to be patient. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, patience, patience, patience. Even if they are so bad to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised you to be patient. Who will win? You will win or they win. They're so bad and you're good to them. Who's the winner? You're the winner. Because Allah stands for you and He will not stand for them. And Allah will defend you and He will not defend them. Allah will protect you, He will not protect them. And you will be supported by Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put you on top of them one day. Yeah, we have seen this. People were hated by their relatives, but then now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them the most respected personalities in the family members. Right? So patience with the relative is wajib. It's necessary. Yeah, always be kind, always be good, and don't do because they're doing. لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ لِلْمُكَافِعِ, the Prophet ﷺ said. A wasil is not somebody who is doing the mukafa. He visits me, I visit him. He doesn't visit me, I also don't visit him. So I'm only going to him because he is coming to me. Right? Sharia doesn't want this. Yeah, we have this behavior in our communities. I'm doing because he's also doing. If he's not doing, I'm not going to do. Sharia doesn't want this. Sharia wants me to do because it is the right thing to be done. Whether he is doing it or he's not doing it, it doesn't matter. لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاطِعُ رَحِيمٍ. The one who cut off the ties between him and his relative will not go to paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ. He said, he does not believe, he does not believe, he does not believe. He said, مَنْ ذَاكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, who is that يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. He said, this is the neighbor in which his neighbor doesn't feel safe staying with him. Yeah. So it's good to have neighbors, but it's very dangerous also at the same time. Yeah, because they have to be comfortable living with you. You get it? Yeah. That one, as long as they don't exaggerate. Yeah. There are some neighbors, the neighbor cannot move. Yeah. You have children, they have to know that you have children, you know. Yeah, of course, there are things which are beyond the limit, what the kids shouldn't do. But that is the level of tolerance, right? You should understand that, yes, this person has children. Yeah, but not to make it like in a way they cannot do anything. When they are at home, they have to stop talking. They have to talk very silently because the neighbors will get disturbed. Yeah, this is not a good neighbor, actually. Yeah. However, if they are doing it in the way they will get disturbed, then you have to stop them from doing it, especially at night. Yeah, and you have to check with your neighbors if you have kids and apologize to them from time to time. We believe we are disturbing you. They will say, no, it's okay, they are children, you know, but still reduce what you're doing. And sometimes as a student of knowledge, people might keep quiet, right? Yeah, they got harmed, but they will keep quiet. Does that mean you are excused? No, you're not. Yeah. You have to check and see whether they get disturbed, and then you stop it. You know. قَالَ فَإِنِ اسْتَعَانَ الْعَاشِقُ عَلَى وِسَالِ مَعْشُوقِهِ بِالشَّيَاطِينِ مِنَ الْإِنسِ إِمَّا بِسِحْرٍ أَوْ اسْتِخْدَامٍ أَوْ نَحْوِ ذَلِكَ ضَمَّ إِلَى الشِّرْكِ وَالظُّلِّ كُفْرَ السِّحْرِ. He says, if the Aashiq, we know the Aashiq, right? The one who has that kind of love. If he is looking for what he wants to reach, but he's doing that through magic, all the use of the jinn and shayateen. Yeah, he uses shayateen, he uses jinn, or he uses magic to bring. Yeah, sometimes they do that, right? Yeah, he wants this girl, or she wants the boy to like her. She goes to the magician and convince the magician to do magic so that person will be thinking about her all the time. And he also does it. Yeah. There are some people like that, subhanAllah. So if he does that, then he is adding to that operation the kufr al-sihr, because sihr is kufr. Allah says, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُ. Yeah, sihr is kufr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you go to a magician, your prayer will not be accepted for 40 days. And if you testify and agree with that which magician says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَقَدْ كَفَرَ ذَاكَ الرَّجُلُ بِي مَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no way for a magician to invite and attract the shayateen to work for him unless if he leaves iman. As I said, if you see the stories of these magicians, you know that yes, this cannot be Muslims at all. Yeah. How is it possible for a person who brings Quran and put dam of haid on it and dance on it and pee, poop, you know, or go and put it inside the toilet, or go and open the graveyard and put it inside the grave, you know, and the body became and rotten with the worms and everything. That was the command by the shayateen. Yeah, and sometimes they kill. Yeah, they kill, they command the person to go and kill babies, to go and kill a specific type of people and bring some part of that person. And subhanAllah, they do. Some of them, when they repent, they narrate their story and how they managed to get those whom they killed, and they get that part of him or her and go and give it to the magician. Yeah, this is their life. And they're always humiliated, never relaxing their dunya, always in that situation. Yeah. So they have to leave the iman first for the shaitan to help them. Yeah, this is a fact that we have to understand correctly. Shaitan doesn't come and help. Can we seek the help of shayateen, the jinns, the good jinn? Don't be so rigid, but they're good. They always do something right. You get it? I met Abdurrahman in Saudi, and subhanAllah, he came to my room and he forgot something. No, that example will not work. He came to Malaysia and he met me here in the office, and then he forgot his wallet. He has a lot of money inside that wallet. Should I say this is luqata ala barakatillah? Habib, can I invite some of the jinn? Because he already left to Jeddah. Just bring some of the jinn. Please pass it to Abdurrahman there. Go and put it in his room. Isn't it good? He will say yes, because this is his money. The point is to get his money back, right? But honestly speaking, I'm just using random example, but if there is somebody who claims that he's using the good jinn for good purposes, why do you do that? He says, Sulaiman alayhi salam also use jinn, you know. But you are not Sulaiman. He says, Shar'u man qabla shar'u lana. But is it halal for him to do that? Salaam wa rahmatullah. No, right? Yeah, you're very harsh people, you know. Yeah. Some scholars said it's okay. However, it should be stopped, you know, sadda li dhariya, to block the means that can lead to evil. Yeah. One of our great scholars mentioned that shouldn't be. I'll not mention who, no? And I want you to have something towards his fatwas, but very great scholar. Very, very, very great scholar. And it doesn't affect his credibility. However, the best opinion is no, right? We have to keep that system in the way it is. They don't see us, we don't see them. They don't cooperate with us, we don't cooperate with them. Yeah. You get it? And imagine we ask them to help us, and they do. If they're going to help also their shayateen, their friends from the kuffar, we're going to be in trouble. Right? We're going to. That's why they don't come and support us in the battles. Even the Muslim jinns. Yeah, they don't come. Yeah, they have theirs, we have ours. And that's good for the system. Right? So we are not supposed to use them. We're supposed to let them live their life and we live our life. So please do understand this, right? Because there is nowadays some people who tell you we're using the good jinns, right? Good jinns. These are all kadib. All kadib. How does he know he's a good jinn? Some jinn comes in the form of righteous people. Well, I used to have a friend from one of these Arab countries. Oh, very good friend, very good person. I will not mention the name of the place, but there is a person whom he is giving da'wah to. That person says that an old man used to visit him. You know, it's a true story. This old man used to come to him, and this old man always tell him, do not listen to this guy. This guy, that person is asking, the friend of mine was asking him to pray. You have to come to the masjid, always advising him. And what is depriving him from coming is that old man who come with the beard, white beard. Then if you see him, mashallah, mufti, a scholar in Islam. But subhanAllah, he never know that this is shaitan coming. Shaitan, in our life, you know. He said there was a time I was just walking with him in the street. A truck comes, a trailer, and it was facing us. I was going to run. He held me. He said, no, don't worry. He said, that was the time I know that, yes, definitely, I'm not dealing with human being. I'm dealing with shaitan. He said, subhanAllah, wallahi. He told me, don't worry, nothing will happen. He said, by the time it comes to us, it becomes like a small toy, just passes like that and go. Yeah. He said, then I know that, yes, definitely, I really have to be very careful. Yeah. I forgot how did he get rid of him. At the end of the day, he left. Alhamdulillah. You get it? So this can happen. They come in the form of good and righteous people to guide you. Right? One of the scholars, Abdul Qadir al-Jailani, they said he was praying and then suddenly a head just appears to his Qibla. You know? And told him, I forgot the statement, either he is Allah, you know? He told him, Anta kithab. In the context of our life nowadays, this person becomes Wali min awliya illah, right? But subhanAllah, those are the good people. That's why a lot of things which are attributed to him, if you look at his biography, the scholar said he wasn't. He was a very good person, wallahu alam, you know? But there are so many things attributed to him which he did not. Okay? So that barrier has to remain. Right? Nobody should come and tell you, I use good jinn. No, there's no such thing like that. Good jinn will not come to help him. Good jinn will not come to her. A normal person, any normal person will never agree with this. That's why I remember in the class of tafsir, I forgot which year was that, but one of the years when I was doing my first degree in Medina, the one who was teaching us tafsir, he talks about this issue, saying that there's no way for a person to cooperate with the jinn. So one of the students kept on insisting that, no, this is possible. The Sheikh said, no, it is not. Because we never heard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting support from the jinn. Abu Bakr never got support from them. Umar, Uthman, and all of them. And he says, even our scholars, our great scholars, we never heard of Ibn Baz, you know, getting support from the jinn doing things. for him or any other great scholars that we know in this time of ours. They don't. And then they come and help you. You don't have doubt in this. They don't help the great scholars. They come to you. I mean, common sense will tell you that there is something behind it. Yeah. When he insisted, the sheikh raised up his hand. You know, I told you, any person who is okay will never agree with good jinn to come to his house. Yeah, the sheikh raised up his hand. He says, Allahumma sallit alayhi jinnan min jinnik. The boy said, no, sheikh, I don't want, you know. But just now you are telling us it is okay. There are people who are doing, why can't you want it if it is okay? But his nature is telling him this is wrong. You get it? So the system has to remain in the way it is. So if this person is taking the help and the support of the jinn and the shayateen and doing the sihr to get that person on his side, then he is adding to that oppression another kind of oppression, which is the kufr of the sahir. فَإِلَّمْ يَفْعَلُهُ هُوَ وَرَضِيَ بِهِ كَانَ رَاضِيًا بِالْكُفْرِ غَيْرَ كَارِهِ لِحُصُولِ مَقْصَدِهِ بِهِ. If he doesn't do the magic himself, but he agrees with the magic to be done for him, then he will be amongst those people who are pleased with magic, right? Yeah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a person accept, he become a kafir with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, وَهَذَا لَيْسَ بِبَعِيدٍ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ. And even the second one also is closer to kufr. Yeah, because he's happy with the kufr. Very close to accept the kufr. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْمَقْصُودُ أَنَّ التَّعَاوُنَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ تَعَاوُنُ عَلَى الْإِثْمُ الْعُدْوَانِ. Ibn Qayyim says, what I want you to understand from all of these statements that I have mentioned earlier is that cooperation in this regard is cooperation upon al-ithm al-udwan, you know, commission of sin and going beyond the boundaries. وَأَمَّا مَا يَكْتَرِنُ بِحُصُولِ وَأَمَّا مَا يَكْتَرِنُ بِحُصُولِ غَرَضِ الْعَاشِقِ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ الْمُنْتَشِرِ الْمُتَعَدِّي ضَرَرُهُ فَأَمْرُ اللَّهِ يَخْفَى. You know, the ashiq, he got what he wanted, right? The ashiq, you know ashiq, right? The one who's doing the ishq towards somebody, right? He's getting what he's looking for. But for him to get it, he has to oppress many people. So Ibn Qayyim said this is already known to everyone. He will be explaining this darab that happens to those people who are innocent. فَإِنَّهُ إِذَا حَصَلَ لَهُ مَقْصُودُهُ مِنَ الْمَعْشُوقِ فَلِلْمَعْشُوقِ أَغْرَاضٍ أُخَرٍ يُرِيدُ مِنَ الْعَاشِقِ إِعَانَتَهُ عَلَيْهَا. So both of them are helping and supporting each other. He got what he want from the ashiq, and the ma'shuq also has something that he wants from the ma'shuq. فَلَا يَجِدُ مِنْ إِعَانَتِهِ بُدًّا. He has to also support him. This is how they cover the sin. Yeah, I will conceal your secret. You also conceal mine. Yeah, so as such, the husband would not know, the sayyid would not know, the father would not know, you know. Who's holding the zimam of the information, you know, is the ashiq himself. So he's also helping and supporting the ma'shuq. Okay, this will be detailed later, inshallah. قَالَ فَبَقِّي كُلٌّ مِّنْهُمَا يُعِينُ الْآخَرَ عَلَى الظُّلْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And then each one of them is supporting the other one to commit sin and oppression against others. فَالْمَعْشُوقُ يُعِينُ الْآشِقَ عَلَى ظُلْمِ مَنْ يَتَّسِلُ بِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَأَقَارِبِهِ وَسَيِّدِهِ وَزَوْجِهِ. The ma'shuq is supporting the ashiq to oppress those who are connected to the ma'shuq, right? Yeah. And from both sides, actually. From both sides. Because the family, if they are to know this, would they be happy with that? No. So they will do everything possible to make sure that the thing remains secret. What are they doing? They are oppressing. Because sometimes it happens that this is a wife. And this is worse, actually, when it becomes a wife of somebody. And this is the slave of somebody. Or this is the relative or the child of somebody. وَكَذَلِكَ الْعَاشِقِ يُعِينُ الْمَعْشُوقَ عَلَى ظُلْمِ مَنْ يَكُونُ غَرَضُ الْمَعْشُوقِ مُتَوَقِّفًا عَلَى ظُلْمِهِ. You know, he is also the ashik, is supporting the mashuk, you know, to oppress that person, in which we have to oppress him for us to get that which we are looking for. I mean, the ashik has to oppress, the mashuk has to oppress for them to get what they're looking for. Without that oppression, life will be normal. Then they will not get whatever they're looking for with that ishq. فَكُلٌّ مِّنْهُمَا يُعِينُ الْآخَرَ عَلَىٰ أَغَرَاضِهِ أَلَّتِي هِيَ ظُلْمُ النَّاسِ فَيَحْصُلُ الْعُدْوَانُ وَالظُّلْمُ لِلنَّاسِ بِسَبَبِ اشْتِرَاكِهِمَا فِي الْقُبْحِ لِتَعَاوِنِهِمَا بِذَلِكَ عَلَى الظُّلْمِ. He says each one of them is supporting the other one to oppress people. You get it? The support, the cooperation is between them, which brings, you know, tragedy and also a big oppression against others because of that cooperation. Because if one of them is doing, it might be light. But if they cooperate with each other, the dhulm is going to be bigger. قَالَ كَمَا جَرَتْ بِهِ الْعَادَةُ بَيْنَ الْأُشَّاقِ وَالْمَعْشُوقِينَ مِنْ إِعَانَةِ الْعَاشِقِ لِمَعْشُوقِهِ أَلَى مَا فِيهِ ظُلْمٌ وَعُدْوَانٌ وَبَغِيٌ. He said, this is the norm. In every community you go, the cooperation between the two is there. And cooperation on what? On what? On al-ithm wal-udwan. قَالَ حَتَّى رُبَّمَا يَسْعَى لَهُ فِي مَنْصِبٍ لَا يَلِقُ بِهِ. Right? Accept me, I will grant you, you know, position in the authority. You get it? And this person is not qualified. Yeah. But because he wants him to submit, or he wants her to submit herself, then give them the. We have this a lot, right? Yeah, people are given the position, especially when it comes to this relationship between the opposite gender. Yeah, somebody might get what he doesn't deserve because of the acceptance they got for something. قَالَ رُبَّمَا يَسْعَلَهُ فِي مَنْصِبٍ لَا يَلِقُ بِهِ وَلَا يَسْلُحُ لِمِثْلِهِ. And that's another zulm, right? Because they are oppressing the community by taking the amana and putting it on somebody who does not deserve that amana. وَفِي تَحْصِيلِ مَالٍ مِّنْ غَيْرِ حِلِّهِ. And sometimes he might support him to get wealth and to get mal from, I mean, the channels that are not halal for him to get. وَفِي اسْتِطَالَةٍ عَلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ. And give him chance also to have authority. الْاسْتِطَالَةَ means you have a chance to see whatever you want against others. فَإِذَا اخْتَصَمَ مَعْشُوقُهُ وَغَيْرُهُ أَوْ تَشَاكَيَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِلَّا فِي جَانِبِ الْمَعْشُوقِ. There is a conflict between the mashuk and somebody. Yeah? Or they are in the court. There is a case between the mashuk and somebody. Who is right to this person? The mashuk. Yeah, the mashuk. Cannot be wrong. Why? Because of that ishq. So he is oppressing somebody because of that ishq that is between them. لم يكن إِلَّا فِي جَانِبِ الْمَعْشُوقِ ظَالِمًا كَانَ أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. It doesn't care whether he is oppressing others or he is oppressed by others, it doesn't matter. The point is, this is his ma'shuq. هَذَا إِذَا إِلَى مَا يَنْضَمُّ إِلَى ذَلِكَ مِنْ ظُلْمِ الْعَاشِقِ لِلنَّاسِ بِالتَّحَيُّلِ عَلَىٰ أَخْذِ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Yeah, and sometimes also they use tricked, and that ishq might be the reason why they get their money ظُلْمًا. وَالتَّوَصُّلُ بِهَا إِلَى الْمَعْشُوقِ بِسَرِقَةٍ. You know, sometimes he might go and do inappropriate things and get the wealth so that he can reach the ma'shuq through that. Yeah. And this one is not only the ishq, but because of the evil consequence of the ishq, that's why he focuses on it. Otherwise, it's not on the ishq. Ma'asi, sometimes if wealth is involved, people go and steal and take the money from the haram way so that they can get to those ma'asi. Yeah, we have heard about somebody who sold his kidney to buy iPad. Alhamdulillah, al-Islam, you know. You get the idea? Alhamdulillah, I guess that person is kuffar. But subhanAllah, I was listening to a very disturbing, you know, information given by one of our scholars. He was talking about the new trends that emerge in some places. Children are selling their kidneys. Iwallah. He said, this is not hearsay. He said, my friend, his child also is one of those victims. Yeah. They sell their kidneys. And why? Because they kept on watching the movies and internet media. They're brainwashed about this richness. You know, Ferrari, they see these fancy things. You know, he wants to become like that. So this is a young boy, innocent boy. You know, this criminal will come to him. Yeah, you want to buy this Ferrari, right? We can take you to that place, you know. The first stage is we can do this. Don't worry, nothing will happen to you, you know. Can still survive. Yeah. They give them that amount of money and take that part of the body. So we really need to be very careful in monitoring our children. Allah, is very, very, very dangerous a time to raise a child these days of ours. And wherever you are, as long as these devices are there, wherever you are, you really need to open your eyes widely. And also make your child the best friend of yours. Bring him very close to you. Yeah, very, very close. And be very friendly. Yeah, let them understand that you are their home. Yeah, please, please, please take this note, you know. And this time, this is what is happening, you know. And you guys did not marry yet, most of you. By the time you marry, I don't know where the technology is going to be, you know. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of things. AI, BI nowadays, you know. You don't know where they're going, you know. Lazy life and corrupt life. Lazy life and corrupt life. Yeah. That's why monitor your kids and also... please don't be technologist too much technologist. Leave some room of conservativeness. Inshallah, you remember this word. Leave some room of conservativeness. You know, in your house, what do you have in your house? You have a washing machine, right? You have the stove, the one that you just put the rice and go and sleep. It finishes and tells you, I'm done. Come and eat, you know? You get it? What left for the sisters at home who are not working? They have to be active at home, do some things, right? At least we have the cleaning of the house, right? That one also, we have the robots, you know, now and then cleaning everything. Lazy life. And that's why we should welcome a lot of sickness, because when you don't move, yeah, you already know that what will happen to that kind of life. But the most important thing is the kids issue. Please monitor your children, the one that you're going to have in the future, inshallah. Be very serious, father, when it comes to right and wrong. But very friendly person at the same time. Let your kids believe that they have nobody in this life more than you. That's the tarbiyah of who? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Get it? He says, he never told me, why did you do this? And that's why, don't raise up your hand to hit your child. Unless if it is something that there is no way for you to stay away from beating. And inshallah, if you're given the good tarbiyah, forever you will never reach this moment. One of the easiest and beautiful benefits you get from this is that your kids would not lie. Because why are the kids lying? Because they are afraid of being punished. If your child believes that my father will not punish me, they will tell the truth all the time. Yeah, even if you don't ask them. So sometimes these people, Ibn al-Qayyim says, they will steal to get money so that they can go and use it in reaching their ma'shuq. قَالَ مِنْ سَرِقَةٍ أَوْ غَصْبٍ. And sometimes they take it by force, take the wealth that belongs to others. أَوْ خِيَانَةٍ, or they deceive. أَوْ بِيَمِينٍ كَاذِبًا, or they swear by Allah, lying, just to get that money so that they can reach wherever they want to reach. أو قطع طريق. And sometimes they can do this just because they want to reach their ma'shuq, قطع طريق, to use weapon to stop people from going wherever they want to go and take their money. أو نحو ذلك. وربما أدى ذلك إلى قتل النفس التي حرم الله ليأخذ ماله ليتوصل به إلى معشوقه. سبحان الله. Ibn Qayyim says sometimes this person might kill somebody And the purpose of that killing is to get the wealth that that person has so that he can go and reach the mashuq. Right? And this one usually happens between the relatives, right? Yeah. He knows that he has legally the right to inherit this person, but the person is still alive. What does he do? He kill. Yeah. That's why you have to be very careful. It's not about having children, right? Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show mercy to one of our scholars when he narrated to us the story of a person who is so rich but he couldn't sleep at home. And he's talking about those who are complaining that they don't have children. Right? You have people who don't have children, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give them ability to give birth to a child. They usually do what? Either go for haram, for the magic, or go for doctors, you know, give them medicine, or go for IVF, in vitro or vitro fertilization, yeah, which is wrong according to the best opinion of the scholars, to be done. It carries a lot of things which, if you hear them, you will understand why this should be rejected. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا. So people complain, rather than going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance and doing the right thing and ask Him to grant them, sometimes they go to the magician. So this sheikh was saying that, subhanAllah, you don't know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you. There are some people who have children, but they never relax. Because of who? Their kids. And then he mentioned the example of this man who, he said, at night, he goes with his fancy car, he was very rich, but he has to keep on going around the city, you know, throughout the night until around 2 or 3 a.m. when he realized that nobody is following him. And then he will park the car and sleep. SubhanAllah, what kind of life is this? Because his kids, he realized that his kids are looking for any opportunity to kill him. He got scared. Where to live? He cannot stay at home. I mean, who will look for this child? Yeah. So don't ask Allah, give me a child, just give anyhow. No, ask Allah to give you a good one. That's a message for those who don't like girls and they like boys. Get it? Yeah, you don't know who is going to be beneficial to you, your daughter or your son. Get it? Allah grant us good. So he says sometimes they might kill somebody so that they can get money. They can get money to reach the mashuq. قال وكل هذه الآفات وأضعافها وأضعاف أضعافها تنشأ من عشق السور. He says all of these diseases and calamities, they are the result of the عشق, that kind of evil love to those images. وتحمل على الكفر الصريح وقد تنصر جماعة ممن نشأوا في الإسلام بسبب العشق. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. He says sometimes it might take a person to kufr. Ibn al-Qayyim says, there are some people who converted to Christianity and they live in Islam, but because of the ishq, they convert to Christianity. Well, I don't say this is the story in the past. No, in our time, a lot of this. A person became loser because of the girlfriend he wants to take. And this girlfriend is corrupt, is bad. Even if she's Muslim, is bad. And subhanAllah, long ago, there was a brother I know, trust me, very good brother. In those days in which when we have classes like this, only one person comes. Yeah. First time when I started teaching in Nilai, and sometimes the whole class is just one person. That person is my friend. I visit him, we go to the class, we sit down and we teach each other. People will come to pray, those who can come and pray, but nobody come to the class. So slowly, then they started growing. Among those people who are very dedicated to those classes, wallah, you know, a person who was not, you know, careful, he was attracted by a prostitute woman. Somebody called me, and how did he get to that level? He went to the UK. Yeah, I just want us to understand why scholars tell us not to go to those places. He went to the UK. And we have stories like that. You know, people go into those places and they've gone. We lost them completely. We lost them. Yeah. to the UK and found somebody who is always telling him, you know, that he shouldn't look at any other sisters. She knows what. Yeah, she doesn't call it zina, but she says she knows what does that mean, and she knows what man is looking for. Those other people, he shouldn't think about them. Always calling him for zina. And wallah, it was very difficult to detach. Alhamdulillah, stopped, but it was very difficult to detach. So al-hadar, a person should be very careful. This is what Ibn al-Qayyim is saying. Sometimes a person might go to kufr, you know, in order to follow the ishq that he has. He says, قَدْ تَنَصَّرَ جَمَعَةُ مِمَّنْ نَشَوْا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ. We know people who are grown up in Islam. The family is well-rooted in Islam. تَنَصَّرُوا بِسَبَبِ الْإِشْقِ. They became Christian بِسَبَبِ الْإِشْقِ. كَمَا جَرَى لِبَعْضِ الْمُؤَذِّنِينَ. Just like what happened to some of the مُؤَذِّنِينَ. مُؤَذِّن, Bilal, the one who's making adhan. حين أبصر مرأةً. That's why among the conditions of adhan, what are the conditions of adhan? Three conditions. Number one, أن يكون صيتاً. Okay, أميناً, صيتاً, and عالماً بالوقت. Yeah, three things. You should become صيتاً, means somebody who has very loud, beautiful voice. Loud voice at first, then beauty of the voice. أمين, he has to be trustworthy. Trustworthy because of the time. We want somebody who will not go and make adhan for Maghrib time before the Maghrib because he is hungry. Or Fajr time, he woke up late and he knows that this is Fajr. He delayed adhan so that he can finish his food first and then go and call the adhan. Yeah, we need somebody who is Amin. We can trust him on time. And also on top of all, in the past, they don't have these ones. Right? Nowadays, we have this one, right? I make adhan, then it goes to depends on the strength of my sound system. If it is like Revival's one, I think only in this place. Sorry, Abdurrahman. They will never invite me to talk again, you know. But that's good for me. Anyway, so now we have this. You can make adhan, it reach everyone. Before, they cannot. You know, they have to go on top of the minara. You know, the minaret, they go on top there so that they can make the adhan in order for the community to hear the adhan. Okay, now he's on top of the minaret, right? Houses in those days is not like the houses we see here. Okay, my house is all covered, you know, all the room. There is no space where you can see the sky. In the past, and up to date in the villages and many places in the city, we have a yard, right? A place which is open that you can see the. So this place, because it is fenced properly with long walls. You know? So sisters, when they come to that place, how do they come? With hijab, niqab, and everything? No, because this is their house. So she comes just like the way she's in her living room. Also, she stays here because nobody's here. Right? Nobody is here. However, the mu'adhin, the masjid is next to the house. When he's on top of the minara, can he see the inside of the house? Yes. You see, that's why they said he has to be Amin. Somebody who makes adhan like this. And look there, not here. And telling us, I'm trying to reach everyone, right? So, however, this mu'adhin doesn't follow this amana, right? He was making the adhan. Unfortunately, the house next to him, the house belongs to Nasara. So he saw that beautiful girl. He quickly finished the adhan and jumped into the house immediately. SubhanAllah. So he went into the house immediately. And then he told her, قَالَ جَرَى لِبَعْضِ الْمُؤْرِخِينَ أَبْصَرَ إِمْرَأَةً جَمِيلَةً عَلَى سَطْحٍ. So he was there and he saw one of the sisters on top of a roof or inside the house. فَفْتُتِنَ بِهَا. So the fitna was so great. He couldn't be patient. فَنَزَلْ. He went down. فَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا. Immediately, مُبَاشَرَةً, he get inside the house. وسألها عن نفسها. He asked her if she can allow him to marry her. He really cannot be patient. فقالت هي نصرانية. She said, I'm a Christian. إن دخلت في ديني تزوجت بك. If you accept my deen, I accept you. ففعل. He accepted her deen. For the sake of what? marriage. Subhanallah. قال فرقى في ذلك اليوم على درجة عندهم فسقط عنها فمات. I guess in this book or another book of Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned a bit of detail that they tested him. You know, while they gave him a place, he was fixing some part of the roof. He fell down and died. خسر الدنيا والآخرة. That's the result of what? Ishq. Ibn Abd al-Rahim. Also, Ibn al-Qayyim, if I'm not mistaken, quoted his story. If not him, Ibn Kathir. In the Bidayah wa Nihaya, he says, قَبَّحَهُ اللَّهُ. May Allah curse him. This person is حافظ لكتاب الله, مجاهد في سبيل الله. He also saw a Christian sister in one of the places, فَفْتُتِنَ بِهَا. You know, and then he went to her and she also told him, I cannot marry you unless if you accept our religion. He accepted their religion. Yeah. At the end of the day, subhanAllah, he did not die at that time. I don't know how his life was concluded. But you can see the fitna. He lost his religion because of ishq. Because of ishq. The Muslim asked him when they passed through him, they say, what did the Quran do with you? He says, I forgot everything in the Quran except one ayah. Alif Lam Ra. وربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين تلك آيات القرآن وكتاب مبين ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين. See, that's the only ayah I remember. ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين. Perhaps the non-believers, they will wish that they were Muslim. You know, they accept Islam. He said there will be a time where the non-believers will wish they are Muslim. Now, this is adding to the injury, right? The kuffar will be wishing to accept Islam. You, Allah SWT, gave you Islam and Quran and jihad, and then you left this for the sake of marriage. A'udhu billah. That's why this eyes, a person should control it as much as he can. Wallahi, it's my advice to all of you. Control it as much as you can. The most dangerous, you know, thing that is connected directly to the heart is the eye. If you don't control it, it is going. The eye is going to take you to places where you never expect to be in. قال ذكر هذا عبد الحق في كتابه العاقبة. So عبد الحق, he mentioned this in his book العاقبة. So this is a story that is fact to them that people might lose their religion because of the ishq. وإذا أراد النصارى أن ينصروا الأسيرة أروه امرأة جميلة وأمروها أن تطيعه في نفسها. The Nasara, whenever they want to disturb Asir. Asir means a war prisoner among the Muslims. They want to destroy him. What do they do? They usually keep him in a place and they ask one of the sisters, the most beautiful one amongst them, to go and decorate herself and beautify herself and put all the makeup and whatever she put, and ask her to go to him. Yeah, because they know that this is one of the worst fitna that a person cannot stand. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنْ نَاقِسَةِ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ أَذْهَبْ لِلِبِّ الرَّجُلِ الْحَازِمِ مِنْ إِحْدَاكُنَّ. You're looking for somebody who takes the brain of a very smart and serious person. Is who? It's a woman. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, we should keep a barrier that Allah SWT put between the opposite genders, right? Yeah, you don't say, no, I'm muttaqi lillah. It doesn't go like that. Yeah, I'm saying this because there are some people who think they're okay to do this. Wallahi is wrong, very wrong. We see the people who are supposed to be the great muttaqoon in their own places, they couldn't stand this. They got destroyed completely because of this. Yeah, so it's a very serious matter with Islam. And we should take it as that. And don't worry about the comment that somebody is going to give. Just keep moving towards that which Allah SWT wants you to do. Lower your gaze as much as you can. If you want, what is the remedy given to us? Marriage, zawaj. That's it. Yeah. And can somebody remind us about the early evil consequences of too much relationship in the wrong way with others before the marriage?
male or female? Which
one? Both. In both sense. Okay, let me save my time. Yeah, what happens is after they marry, trust me, usually both, the one who is involved in those evil relationship, he will not find marriage interesting in the way that relationship was before. His wife will suffer a lot. Yeah, that's why you have cases that we know, that a person after the marriage look at the sister and tell her, you're not appealing to me, and divorce happens in a few days. Yeah, he couldn't find anything. Yeah, before the marriage everything's okay, and he sees her as somebody that's okay to him, but now she's not. Why? Because he's restricted. Yeah, he's restricted, right? The same goes to the wife who is too much with others. That's why it's very dangerous to marry a person who is too much occupied with those images before. You will lie. It's very dangerous. He has to repent. And even after he repents or she repents, give them time first for that brain to be washed and the heart to be cleansed properly. Otherwise, trust me, whoever marries these type of people is going to suffer. If he's decent, from time to time, she or he is going to talk about the other person by mistake, but because the body is used to it. Yeah. And the jealous person is going to do what Ibn al-Qayyim will mention in the near future about this case that I'm saying. So what did they do? The kuffar, when they want to destroy a Muslim after they capture him, they put him in a place and they put a woman with him. وَأَمَرُوهَا أَن تُطِيعَهُ فِي نَفْسِهَا. And they would tell her, just submit yourself to him. حَتَّى إِذَا تَمَكَّنَ حُبُّهَا مِنْ قَلْبِهِ بَذَلَتْ لَهُ نَفْسَهَا إِنْ دَخَلَ دِينَ. So at first she would tell him, you have everything. She does everything to get him lost first. When she realized that this person is lost now, that he can't control himself, he doesn't know what he does, and then she tells him, there is one step left for you to get what you want. What is that step? Just accept our religion. Trust me, Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't protect him, as Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned here, there is no way for him to pass that test. She will tell him, because after he is in that situation, worse than a drunk person, and then she will tell him, only one step left. Just accept our religion, and then you are. So he's going to accept wholeheartedly, or he will accept it by ta'wil. Let me just accept now and then repent later. And once he accepts, no repentance. I'm not saying that he cannot repent. No, he can repent. But is he going to be able to stay away from this life and repent? That's a big question. Usually it will be very difficult for him to quit. Yeah, that's why you don't begin the first haram. Because once you start, staying away from it is very difficult. To stay away from it before you start is easier than staying away from it after you enjoy what is inside. Ibn al-Qayyim says, she would tell him, if you accept my religion, then I give you what you want. Ibn al-Qayyim says, فَهُنَالِكَ يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَلُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Yeah, subhanAllah, you have a lot of stories about the mujahideen, those people, you know, in the past who were disturbed by this method. You know, by this method, and subhanAllah, they pass. Yeah, they don't care about anything. They don't care about anything. All they see, you know, is how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In some situations, some of these sisters, they were just left the place. They are not even sure whether he sees them or not. They're not even sure whether he sees them or not. I remember a story, subhanAllah, I used to remember the owner of this story, and then I forgot. Very funny and scary story. There's one of the scholars, but they said Allah wanted to grant him this wasama fi wajhi. Not wasim in the other place, you know, that's somebody who was very handsome, but a great scholar. He was on a journey with his student. Actually, I wish I can get the name of this person. Anyway, who cares? So he was in the tent. So he sent his students to go and buy food for them in the city and come back. Then they can eat and then move forward. A sister watched him. She got disturbed. She might not be bad, but she got disturbed. She went to him. SubhanAllah. She opened the tent. She went inside. Assalamu alaikum. So he saw her. He put his head down. She told him, Habli. These are her words. She said, Habli. Habli means, give me a gift. Right. What do you understand from this? She's looking for sadaqah, charity. So he has a balance of food that he has that remaining. So he just pushed it to her, everything. Just take it. She said, no, this is not what I want. And she opened some part of her body. The sheikh started crying. Until the time this woman went out of the room, he doesn't know that he went out. His student came back. He found him crying very badly. He told him, Sheikh, what happened? Now he realized that, yes, the situation has changed now, and there is somebody else in the room. He opened his eyes to see that woman. Maybe she's still there, but he saw his student. He was, alhamdulillah. He told the student asked him, what happened? He says, nothing. Sheikh, come on. I never saw you crying like this. He said, yeah, you know, dunya, when you remember, you reflect, sometimes you cry. Yeah, he tried to disguise himself and also to hide the information. But then the student insisted. SubhanAllah, according to the story, when he told the student also cried. You know why was he crying? He was crying that Allah saved him. He said, Sheikh, I don't think if I... He said, I'm crying that I wasn't there. Because if I were to be in your position, I don't think I can pass this test. The Sheikh was crying for something and he was crying for another thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. So the best is to do what? Is to put a barrier. Yeah. Sometimes we have, you are in the office, but your secretary is the opposite gender and the office is very small and sometimes it's closed. Somebody has to open. Is that right? Yeah, but we always do because we think this is a job, you know, working environment. And we hear a lot of stories. The good one amongst them is they are those who married. Yeah, there are situations where the secretary and the boss, they marry. Yeah, I mean, there has been some connections before, but alhamdulillah, it ends in the good way, right? It ends in the good way. It doesn't go in the way we hear from time to time. You get it? So Ibn Qayyim says, وَهُنَالِكَ يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. When this happens, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given the strength and the ability and the power for those believers to protect themselves. Otherwise, trust me, my dear brothers and sisters, if a person get into trouble with this kind of calamity, trust me, it's not easy for him to go out of it. You see the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? See how it happens? Up to date, you have some scholars, when they look at that ham mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't know which ham is being mentioned. Because Allah says, hammat bihi wa hamma biha. What does he mean? Very critical moment. And Allah told us, he says, we interfere and we got him out of it. You know, subhanAllah, Allah has to step in and protect him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, iyyakum ad-dukhula ala nisa. And today we make it okay and fine. So يَثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَرُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ. The thabat in this life and the hereafter, especially in the grave, in the fitan, thabat is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a person to be able to pass the test in the days of fitan. And why are they given this thabat? Because of their iman. Yeah? The application of La ilaha illallah in their life. وَيُذِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ. And this thabat is going to be taken away from the oppressors and the wrongdoers. They will not be given the strength. So when the test comes, they will be destroyed because of it. Well, if Allahumma yasha, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does what he wants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Any question? We mentioned the third condition, right? Knowledge. Yeah. Knowledge of the time, the prayer time. You have loud voice. You have the second one is amana. The third one is alaib al-waqt. يكون عالما بالوقت. He knows the prayer time. And when we say he knows the prayer time, we're not talking about the calendars. We're talking about the movement of the sun, right? And the rising of the Fajr and the sunset, right? Somebody who knows that. He can tell the time without looking at the calendar. Is that clear, inshallah? Yeah, that's why if the imam is in the place where they look at the calendar and the calendar has not been fixed. Yeah, here in Malaysia these days, you have to be careful. Yeah, because it had been fixed. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Those 8 minutes that were added did a lot for us. Yeah, because now when you finish your Fajr prayer, you come out of your house, you can see the beginning of the daylight. Because Fajr is the beginning of the daylight. The Fajr comes and you keep expanding slowly, slowly, slowly. That's why usually Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finished the prayer, it will be ghalas. Ghalas is the mixture of the daylight and the darkness of the night. Is that clear? And sometimes Kana yusfiru jiddan, he used to recite a lot. In the way you can even see the daylight. But don't do that. Huh? Yeah. Nobody will come to your masjid after that if you don't get beaten by them. Yeah. Nowadays, everyone is thinking of the work before the job. Right? So be moderate. Yeah. In Fajr, read something that people will not stay away from the masajid. Right? Don't say, oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read Surat al-A'raf in Maghrib prayer. You read once, by the way. You read it, maybe khalas. You will pray with your son only. Yeah, and even among the children, also only the one that you catch. The rest they will run away and go to the other masajid. The point is to pray. Yeah. Anyway, so we have the amana, we have the knowledge of the time, and we have the sawt, the voice, loud voice. Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. How did the Mu'adhin in those times wake up on time for Fajr? Because normally
I love this question so much. Actually, you see, the best alarm you have is the consciousness. Yeah, the consciousness. I learned this when I was in Medina, and also when I was doing my hifz, I learned that consciousness and also sidqun niyya, the main factors that helps a person to wake up. Other than that, alarm is for the lazy and heedless people. Like us nowadays, you know, and I'm very sorry to say that to our life, but this is who we are. But consciousness is the biggest thing. Well, believe it or not, I used to fix the time that I want to wake up, and I wake up exactly at the same time, and no alarm clock. I told you, I live in the last part of my university, and even during the... We have the imam from India, very good person. He always tell me, please wake me up for Fajr. He has a big alarm clock. I have to go and help him to switch off the thing and wake him up to go. I don't use that clock that much. I live with a person that told me before he left, he said, thank you very much. Because when I became his roommate, we used to go to the Masjid of Rasulullah. We're living in the out campus. So around 2 kilometers between Uhud and Masjid, I think around 2 kilometers, yeah. SubhanAllah, we used to wake up and go to the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and pray Sunnah before the Iqam. So he was once telling me, thank you very much. You know, I used to miss Fajr prayer, very, very rare I come to the Masjid. And now, not just coming to the Masjid, he goes to the Masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ on time. So I believe from all of those experiences that it is all about consciousness. And also try your best to be sadiq. You want to wake up. Trust me, Adam, even today, if you have that consciousness, you wake up. That worry of not being able to wake up at that time is enough to bring you up exactly in most instances at the same time you want to wake up. Number two, they sleep early. Yeah, they sleep early. Not like us. Yeah, they sleep right after Isha. So if you sleep right after Isha, Isha finish at 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. And you know, the body actually gets what it needs by 12. That's what science tells us up to date. Any sleep that you do after 12 is useless. You need a lot of hours for you to get that one, I mean, the 1 hour before 12. Actually, they even say before 11. Because at that time, naturally, the body tells itself that this is the time to sleep. You get the rest, which you might not get it. So when they sleep early in the at night, after Isha, you know, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9 hours, you know, you have. That's why they will sleep and they woke up around 2:30, very fresh, you know, and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and very fresh. If they're exhausted a bit, they sleep a bit and wake up for Fajr on time. Because the body already got what it needs. So you'll be able to have light sleep when you sleep again, إذن الله عز وجل. And then you woke up for Fajr. But in our time, no. Tell me, we sleep at 3, no? 2. In the university, I used to think they don't sleep, actually. Because whenever you come, you find people going around. And they come to the class, sleeping. No? If they're doing Qiyamul Layl, no problem. Even if they sleep in the class, you can understand. But that was Qiyamul Layl, you know. Allahu A'lam, you know. So Adam, these type of things, inshallah, I believe, up to date, if a person has these worries and puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see that he has good intention in catching up, waking up on time, he will do. Yeah, so that's the only translation I can give. Why the Salaf al-Saleh, they don't miss prayer, especially the Fajr prayer. 25 years, he never hears the Adhan when he was out of the masjid. 25 years. 25 years, always the Adhan is there when he is inside the masjid. For us, twisted upside down. 25 years, maybe never comes. Anyway, Allahu Akbar. Thank you for that question. Sorry.
I have a question that in our place, we, as brothers, we have this thing going on, this argument that reserving the spot in the masjid after the iqam is made, can the muadhin have his spot reserved behind the imam, directly behind the imam?
Yes. The appointed muadhin that we appoint, we assign him to be the muadhin, he can have the spot for him. But others, they shouldn't. You know, because there's a custom that the muadhin is behind the imam. Yeah, because we don't go out like them. Before, they used to go out and make the iqamah and then come back. In this case, you shouldn't have a spot. Yeah, because sometimes they make the iqamah and they've said the prayer before he comes even to the masjid. Yeah. Miskeen. You know. Yeah, but in our time, since the adhan and iqamah, they're all inside the masjid, yeah, the muadhin can have his own place. Mm. Yeah, because he's always there.
Sheikh, from a brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Sheikh, ahsanallahu ilaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. If I find a class not very productive and does not give me marks or any knowledge, I just come for the attendance, and I can find more useful things to do, such as reading Quran or listening to Islamic classes, is it okay if I purposely come to the class late?
He's a university student. Register a class, but he thinks the class is useless. Why did he register for this class at the first place? And also, he's depriving others from coming to the class, because we have a quota, right? If we reach that amount, then they don't accept anyone anymore. Yeah, I see that. They sometimes students come to us, we have to sign and agree for them to join, because we already reached the limit. They have to go for manual registration if the lecturer agrees. So if I join with the intention of joining to go and read my other things, I'm depriving that person who might be serious. Yeah, the question is, why do I join? If it is wajib upon me to join that class, then I just join and be honest in the class. You get it? Yeah, be honest in the class. And listening to the lectures or revising lectures when another one is ongoing and you are supposed to be there, it doesn't bring that much of good. Yeah. It doesn't bring that much of good. So I really advise this person not to. Yeah. And that person will not be happy to know that to know that his student is busy with something else. Yeah. Well, you don't understand that, you know, you might not reach it, but when you start teaching, you know how much bad it is when you know that your student is not paying attention. Yeah, we deal with this in the class. You know? Throughout the semester, our voice is gone. Please stop using the phones. And it's like magnets. Students cannot stay away from phones. Yeah. Just switch it off, no, cannot, you know. They have to come to the class and be busy with the phones and their laptop or talk. And when they fail, who is to be blamed? The lecturer. Yeah, he's very harsh, you know. So the lecturers are masakeen. Because sometimes also the system, if the system is unfair, the lecturer has to be questioned. Why did he fail? I see this question, a very disturbing question, you know. We should ask who? The student, why did you fail, you know? Why did he fail? What should I tell? Anyway, so my advice to this person is to join the class honestly and study and do everything possible to pass with good marks, especially when his parents are the one who are paying for his school fees. That's cheating. Yeah, that's cheating them. I'm pretty sure that what he's doing is wrong. Unless if that study is haram study, then at the first place he's not supposed to do, unless if he's forced to do it. Yeah, at the first place he's not supposed to do. But if he has no choice, he has to go to that haram or else he'll lose his life, he goes to jail, or something bad is going to happen to him, then he can go with his Quran and listen to his lectures. Yeah. You get it? Finish? I'm okay.
A question from my brother, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh.
Assalam.
Ahsanallahu alaykum fi dunya wa akhirah. I have an addiction to a sin that I am struggling to quit. I have cut all triggers to it, and it's to the point where I made an oath to never do it again. And I think it's a mistake because
why
whenever...
cut sugar? People are looking for sugar and then you're... go ahead.
I have cut all triggers to it, and it's to the point where I made an oath to never do it again, and I think it's a mistake because whenever I lose control now, I have to pay the kafarah to the point where I am unable to pay anymore. What should I do?
Don't promise again. Allah did not ask you to promise. Do the kafarah and close that page. Okay? And then don't promise again. Just live a normal life. The first thing you should do is to repent. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see sincerity from you. Cut off the sin. And stay away from anything that is bringing you to that sin. And try be busy. Please do understand this. Empty life is one of the root to all of these sins that a person usually commits when he's alone. Having too much freedom, you know, free time. I mean, wallahi, is very bad. It's not good for a Muslim to have free time. Yeah. Make your life full of activities. The time you're not doing something, sleep. You get it? When I say doing something, it doesn't mean salah, zakah, and Quran. No. Go meet your friend and play with them. Yeah. Go meet your friend and play with them. But don't sit down doing nothing. That's one of the evil consequences of the meditation. It brings a lot of evil thoughts. You get it? Those that affects and destroy the aqidah and might lead to suicide. So my advice to him is to cut the root and whatever is leading him to that sin, he should stay away from it. This one with immediate effect. And also make himself busy all the time. Yeah. And repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't promise to do anything when you commit that sin. Try to avoid it and stay away from it. If by mistake, unfortunately, you do it again, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely and try your best. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see sincerity from your side. Inshallah, He will help you to stay away from it. Okay, let me answer the second question first and then.
From the same questioner. What is the minimum price to feed a needy? The minimum I spend on myself for food is around 7 ringgit. Does it have to match that, or can I buy very little food like nasi lemak or snacks?
Look at this stingy guy, you know. be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the sin will be forgiven after the kafara, right? Yeah, is to give him a complete meal. Yeah, moderate meal. Min awsat ma tut'imuna ahlikum. Moderate meal. Nasila mark, is it moderate or the low level? Very low level, right? Get some nasi goreng, you know, get some nasi kanda, what is that? Ah, get that one. Nasi kambing, give him. And then he will say, Zadakallahu hirsan wa ud, you know, not walata ud, ud. Yeah. Anyway, so you have to feed him from the moderate food of the people of the community. Either you give him a meal, complete meal, or you go for two mud, yeah? Give him uddain. But you can just give him a meal, complete meal. For instance, rice, soup, and meat. Yeah. Get it? Yeah. Inshallah. What's the question?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I know you've been asked this question a few times, but I was talking with a few brothers and about the limits of cutting the hair from the sides. So, like, are you allowed to cut the sides, or is there a limit to it, or just cut it all the same?
Like those ships and boxes that people
are... Yeah. But then there's also, like, how to say it, not too much, but I'm not sure what the limit is. You know?
Little, alhamdulillah, little cut. If you see a person with that hill on his head, what do you think about him? Get it? Yeah. That's why it's wrong. Yeah. As for the cutting, that somebody has a little bit, you know that this part is a bit bigger than this part. Which, yeah, if you look at him, you recognize that. Yeah. Some scholars said this can be fine. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And others said this is, yeah, somehow like that. But that's the practically, you know. And others said is wrong, is part of the qaza that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But some scholars said qaza is restricted to shaving some part and leaving some part, not trimming some part and leaving some part. Mm. See, that's why I said reverse technology, you know. Anyway, if he asked me for my advice, I will ask him to always be equal when cutting the hair. Mm. Just cut it at one. Okay. Especially responsible people. Kids, when they do those styles, no problem, you can understand the kids. But a man, you know, somebody who reaches the age of 18, 19, 20 and above, yeah, I think it's good to... However, if he doesn't shave, just trim some part of it, I don't have any straightforward evidence to say that he's doing a haram thing, unless if it makes him look like an abnormal person in the community. Because if people are going to look at you and think that they don't find you a serious person in life because of this, then it is not good for a person to do at all. Because we might say, yeah, this is our right, but you shouldn't say that. You need that good recommendation and comment. You will not know this until you die. That's why they used to say that bayna wa baynahu al-janais. Yeah, when you die, you need everyone to come. Yeah, remember that good person, righteous person, you know. Yeah. Sometimes these simple things might make people look at you as another person, not them. Yeah. And yet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are the shuhada ullahi fi al-ard. The witnesses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth. Yeah, when we talk about janazah with the good statement and another one with the bad statement, the Prophet ﷺ said, wajabat, wajabat. That one goes to Jannah because of the comments people are making, and the other one goes to hell because of the comment people made. So I will advise just to make it equal. Yeah. We're done with these ones, right? Because I have to leave really before Maghrib Adhan.
Get the question actually. Can you
Radia, what is your question? You saw who? Which one? This one. Alhamdulillah, your question now you have to. He makes sujood? What makes sujood different from Abdurrahman?
No, I mean, like, he can sujood, but
Okay, I just move a bit. And Abdurrahman is compressing himself. Who is right, Abdurrahman? So the question is, which one is correct? If you ask me, I will say, of course, I'm correct. And Rahman is always wrong. And if you ask him, he will say, of course, he's right, and I'm wrong. So, yeah, they said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes sujood. And regardless of who is right, who is wrong, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes sujood. He makes gap between this and the body. You get it? This one should be straight like this. And he moves there. And the hand should be open. It doesn't compress himself. Adam, since you demonstrate, can you demonstrate the compressed one a bit? Just do the normal one without putting your dhira. Just that one. Just go down in the way you are. And then that one is somehow correct, you know. Yeah. Okay, if I make too much like the way I used to tell people not to do.
Do it.
No, I don't go like that. That's why he suffers. I also suffer. Yeah, I open. Yes, that's what they told us Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. And that's why what we're doing, to have the saf, sometimes the saf between the first and the second one is very close. This is wrong. That's the reason why when people like me, bit tall, when we make sujood, we have to compress a bit. And that's wrong. It's enough that I'm compressing myself from this side because of the people who are next to me. But the one in front, this one, unless if that is darura, which means we have a lot of people coming to the masjid, but the space is very little. Yeah, so that's why when they make the lines, and the lines are very short, in the way the tall people, when they make sujood, they have to compress a bit. The first person who is making the second saf, he shouldn't come forward. He should move a bit behind. These lines are just there to facilitate making the straight lines. They are not infallible to be followed. Today we did the same thing. And for the sake of the sujood, actually, I move a bit behind so that I can have space to observe sujood according to what I am told that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. But then somebody came and he was following us. And we are only three of us, me and my son, and then he came afterward. And subhanAllah, he followed us, and then he realized that, no, we are not going with the same line. And intentionally, I did that, because I know if I go in the way the line is designed, in front, then I have to make sujood, and the one who is in front of me, when he stands up, he's going to step on my head also. Yeah, so I moved a bit behind, so I started, the toes were on the back side of the line. He doesn't accept with that. He agrees to distort the saf and end his prayer in front of us rather than going behind. Do you get the idea? Yeah. You have some people who think that these lines are innovation. Actually, okay, we don't go with them. But at the same time, if you believe that, yes, we have to follow the lines, then what are you doing? It's wrong practices. So sujood, I'm going to say it. Whether I'm doing it right or I'm doing it wrong, just follow what I say now. Right? Forget about what I did and what Abdurrahman is doing. Just follow what we say now. Okay, this one should be straight. And this part of the body should be open. And you put it, what do you call? You put your hand at the place where your sutra is. Okay, that is a place where you are going to make sujood. So you go. In the way you open, and you open this part of the hand, in the sense, if you have a small animal, it can go inside the place. And people divorce, you know, when he makes sujood, okay, he's going to make the correct one. Okay, the correct one, Adam. No. That's one. That's just move a bit behind. No. Yeah, make your leg straight. Yeah. That one. And then open your hand. Open more. No, that your elbow should go wide. When he makes sujood like this, and you, I don't know what his leg is all about, but he has to connect his feet. Yeah. Put them like this. Yeah. So whoever does this, and he put his hand at the level of his ears or the level of the shoulder, that's the sujood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get the idea? That's the sujood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As for going, can we demonstrate another one? I think I have to squeeze him. I will control you. Okay. I will control. Okay, just move behind like this. Put your hand like this. Don't move there. Don't move this. Okay, just go down. Like this. This one is wrong. And the same goes to one also. He moved behind. This one is wrong. Okay, go again. But here, this one also is wrong. Yeah. And wrong also this one. Because the feet has to be connected. You know. So when he does like this, yeah, and like that. That's the sujood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I ask Uthman to do it, pretty sure he's going to reach here. And then Abdurrahman will say, why, how is he going? So we have to also look at the size of the person. So the point is not to compress yourself, you know, this part and this part should be open, you know, in the way a small animal can pass. Get it, Radia? So just take the way it is being done, not the way Ibrahim does and Abdurrahman. Yeah? Okay, alhamdulillah, now I make you happy. None of us is right, so the truth is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it. Okay, thank you very much for that question. Okay, any last word? Too long. What is that about? A bit technical question.
And then the imam is to see, do you do it after his first, or do you finish the break and have to go both and then go both?
We answered this question, I guess, last time, right? When do you say the salam? When the imam says assalamu alaikum, when do you say the salam?
This question is 3 parts.
Okay. So can we delay to the next class? Yes. Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته